Well, would you rather be discouraged or encouraged? Would you rather have your faith torn down or built up? Well, prepare to be encouraged and built up today on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm a soldier.
Yes, yes, it is Veterans Day. Our deep appreciation to all of you listening, all of you with family members listening. If you've served in the military or are serving in the military, we are indebted to you as Americans. Thank you for your service and many your great sacrifice. We'll be reflecting a little bit today about what it means to be soldiers in God's army, not taking up weapons against our enemies, but overcoming evil with good and overcoming hatred with love. We'll be talking about that, some of the soldier imagery in Scripture. But above all, I want to encourage you, Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884 is the number to call. When I was getting ready for the program today, I thought about some of those TV commercials where you've got that gentleman sitting with a bunch of little kids and asking them, you know, which is better, having something now or having it later, you know, which is better, faster or slower. And in my mind, I asked you the question, which is better, being encouraged or discouraged? Which is better, having your faith built up or your faith torn down? The fact is, often, as we hear testimonies of what God has done in the past or what he's doing today, our faith gets lifted. That's why there's so many accounts repeated over and over and over again in the Scriptures. That's why we have accounts of the acts of God. That's why the children of Israel were told to repeat these from generation to generation. We need to focus on who God is, and on his faithfulness, and on the reality of his promises. And it's interesting to see how we respond. It's interesting to see how we respond when we hear the testimony of someone touched, or someone healed, or someone delivered by the power and grace and goodness of God. Do we rejoice? Do we get angry and say, why not me? Do we question? Are we cynical? Do we say, wow, I hope that's true? If so, that'd be wonderful. How do we react and respond? 866-348-7884. I posted this on Facebook less than 2 hours ago and have been flooded with responses. I simply asked this question on Facebook. Have you personally experienced a miraculous healing in your life or in your immediate family? If so, please share it here in brief. I plan to share some encouraging testimonies on the air today. Now, if you'd like to call in with a specific testimony, again, we're talking about something miraculous. So, for example, if the doctor said, you got a 50-50 chance to make it with chemo, but, you know, hopefully it'll come out all right, and you had years and years of chemotherapy and you're a cancer survivor, hey, we're thrilled with that. We rejoice in that. And we're glad, very glad to hear that. But that would not be in the category of a miraculous testimony. What would be in the category of a miraculous testimony is when the doctors gave you up having done everything they could do, and you were literally on your deathbed, and prayer was offered for you to God in Jesus' name, and God miraculously raised you up. It doesn't have to be quite that dramatic at death's door. But if you have a testimony, genuine, bona fide, you can share it in brief. Give us a call, 866-348-7884. By the way, this is not to advance the theology, because plenty of cessationists believe God still heals today, just that it's not normative. We want to encourage your faith, build you up in God today.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:3 and says, endure hardship as a good soldier of Messiah Jesus. Endure hardship as a good soldier of Messiah Jesus. I've never fought in the military. My mom, who's 91 now, served in the military in World War II, but it was obviously non-combat. She served as a stenographer and was in a very easy part of, she was in Bermuda and enjoyed her time there. My dad served briefly in the Korean War, injured an ankle, and came home, was unable to be on the front lines or anything like that because of his injury, and helped with medical work and things like that. Even though he wasn't a doctor, he learned to give shots and stuff. But some of you have been on the front lines. Some of you are dealing with post-traumatic stress disorder. Some of you have lost family members or friends due to war. Some of you carry the lasting scars of war. Again, my hat's off to you for standing up for our freedoms and for the freedoms of others. Paul says, on this Veterans Day, and on every day, this is scripture, endure hardship as a good soldier of Messiah Jesus. And you know what it's like if you've been in the military. I can only understand it spiritually and on other levels. There are real battles to endure. There are times when all the pressure is on you, and fear and everything coming against you, wanting you to quit. But soldiers have to be tough, and soldiers have to be strong, and soldiers have to endure. And friends, that is part of our calling. Acts 14:22, Paul speaking to the believers there, exhorting them that we have to enter the kingdom of God through many hardships. No one said it's going to be easy. No one said we're going to skip our way through this world into the eternal world. At the same time, God's grace is sufficient. At the same time, when we come to the end of our own strength, we really do come to the beginning of His. And at the same time, we often see His hand working miraculously. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to encourage your hearts today, and I want to see how you react when you hear testimonies of healing or miracles. This was sent to me 4 days ago by Zach. I'm not sure if you remember me, but in 2009, I told you about how the presence of God convinced me to lay down everything and to trust in Him. And by the way, I absolutely remembered Zach. After a decade of battling drug and alcohol addictions related to my struggle reconciling my homosexuality with my spirituality, I finally pulled a ring off of my finger, meaning to another man, and took a leap of faith and told God He'd have to do it. I finally surrendered, not sure what would happen. It didn't really make sense to me, but there was something about that presence of God I had never felt before, where I knew I couldn't live without it. After I wrote you about my experience, you were very encouraging and never made me feel small. Your ministry sent some great literature and videos that really helped me understand where a lot of the roots in my life came from, leading me towards same-sex attraction. You guys never asked for a dime, and I just wanted to say thank you. Let me just stop reading for a moment and say thank you to all of you who support our ministry. Thank you, all of our monthly torchbearers and supporters, and those who help with one-time gifts and those who pray for us. You help us help others. Zach writes, as I've grown, I've asked God to put in me the desires that fit His good plans for my life, and He has. I'm very proud to say I'm celebrating my first anniversary with my beautiful wife this weekend. Every struggle hasn't vanished, of course, and I could gratify the flesh in the old ways if I wanted to, but what the difference is that now I have a choice where before I couldn't see one at all. I have an open and honest relationship with my wife, and we strive to keep our focus on Jesus Christ, and life is truly wonderful. I guess this is a praise report as much as a thank you. Our anniversary just had me thinking back. Thanks, Zach. Well, Zach, I was so encouraged to read this. I wanted to share it around the nation on radio and by internet around the globe. May the Lord's grace and kindness and faithfulness be yours in abundance. Zach, you and your wife, congratulations. Happy anniversary. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phones. Mary Lee in East Brunswick, New Jersey. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you so much, Dr. Brown. My life is a testimony, but I do have a specific miracle. I've been diabetic all my life, and 8 years ago, I had a heart attack.
Mm.
Well, I was told that I had to have open-heart surgery, but it was known that I probably would not survive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I came home from the hospital, and that night, I was sleeping on the couch in the living room, and I woke up suddenly, and I saw two angels standing next to me. And they were working on my heart. Their hands or arms, whatever it was, I couldn't discern, but it was a bright light, and I saw those two angels facing each other. They were working on my heart, and it was, like, very intense. And I thought, am I in the body or out of the body? And I turned my head, and I saw the living room. And I thought, I'm still here. Well, that was 8 years ago. I never had open-heart surgery, Dr. Brown, and my heart has healed.
Praise God. So how, when you say it's healed, how healthy is your heart?
Well, I go for all the tests, the stress test and all the other tests that are involved on a yearly basis, and I'm told by the doctors that there's no ischemia whatsoever as to where the heart attack took place.
And what do they say in terms of explanation or not needing open-heart surgery? What do they say to that?
Well, they really don't know what to say. One doctor said, well, I could believe in miracles, but I don't know.
Well, Mary Lee, that's amazing to hear. Now, it's so fascinating. I don't know Mary Lee any more than you do. I have no reason to doubt what she's saying. And, of course, God uses angels in all kinds of ways. That's quite scriptural. Some of you hear it like, nah, it couldn't be. Well, my question is, why that reaction? Just because you heard something phony? There's no money involved. There's no setup involved. This is to no one's glory except the Lord. Why react like that? Interesting, isn't it, when you see that? 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to start reading some testimonies and taking some more calls as well. We have, in terms of men, women, and children, about 50 of our fire missionaries in the Philippines, in a number of locations in the Philippines. And we were concerned with reports that this massive storm, one of the worst storms ever to hit the region, was coming through over the weekend. And it had devastating effects. Many, many thousands of people dead and several hundred thousand or more homeless, massive devastation. All of our missionaries, their families are 100% fine. There's no danger to them whatsoever, whether they happen to be in the right location or whether God sovereignly protected them. Either way, we're so glad to hear that. Of course, they will be actively involved in helping and ministering to the needy. They do that all the time. All the more will they mobilize now and work with other ministries. One of our missionaries to the Philippines came back to the States to launch a new company called Compassionate Joe Coffee, where the money goes automatically. The profits go to feed starving children in the Philippines. So it just struck me, if you want to get involved, if you want to help with disaster relief, and you know, maybe get some Christmas presents in the process. I hear the flavors are terrific from what people have told me. I'm not a coffee drinker myself. But go to CompassionateJoe.com. Hopefully there'll be Compassionate Joe stores or shops opening in different parts of the country. But go there, buy some of the coffee, give some extra money, and then that money will be going, all the profits will be going directly to the Philippines already. So it's a great way to help and get involved, and we know the people involved and where the funds will go. So that's CompassionateJoe.com. 866-34-TRUTH. This is what Bradford posted on my Facebook page. Answer to my question, have you or has someone in your immediate family been miraculously healed? He said that he was instantly healed of severe chronic allergies, hay fever, numerous injuries over the years. Hasn't had a cold or flu in so many years, he's lost count. He said, my wife immediately supernaturally healed of thyroid disease, numerous injuries, and is it vasovagal? Sorry if I'm mispronouncing it, vasovagal syndrome. Joe, my uncle, Mike, was healed of a brain tumor. He is now pastoring a church. Another one from Bradford. My daughter healed of asthma, severe chronic allergies, hay fever, gastroparesis, plantar fasciitis, several injuries over the years. Hey, why not? No one's saying we're going to skip our way through life pain-free, trouble-free. But doesn't God's word speak a lot about healing? And shouldn't we expect to see God work and glorify Jesus with compassion in the midst of this world?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast on this Veterans Day, 866-348-7884. I have a praise report, and I want to thank all of you who've been praying. Last night, well, for me, it's the night because I stay up late at 3:18 in the morning. I finished the first draft of Authentic Fire. Yes, writing basically day and night for 2 weeks, probably about 250 pages of material. And then with some appendixes from some other friends and scholars, I don't know, 275-page book. I'm not sure. It could be a little more than that. But I knew God moved on me to write it. Prompted me to write Authentic Fire. And when you get the book, you'll see it's not a bashing attack. Oh, I take very strong exception to my elder brother, John MacArthur, on a number of issues and in profound agreement with him on others. But you'll see the book is meant to build up, not tear down. And I believe it'll challenge you, strengthen you, encourage you. I'll tell you in a bit how you can get a copy. But thank you for praying. I'm a little worn out because it was a pretty rigorous run to get this done in 2 weeks. I think this is the shortest period of time I've written this much material. And I feel grace to do it with high quality. And this week now, I'll go through it, carefully edit every line, every word, and then add the hundreds of end notes to it, and then get it to the publisher. God willing, by the weekend, Sunday, I leave for China for a very unique and special trip. I'll tell you more about that in a moment as well. And the goal is that we'll get it out end of November, early December. The ebook should be available at the same time that the print version will be available. If the print version will not be available in any bookstore or online, that's just something being printed exclusively for our ministry by the publisher, which we're thrilled to have. Everyone else can order the ebook in every different platform, and they'll all be available right about the same time, end of November, early December. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's glorify the Lord together. Let's exalt Jesus together. Let's testify to his goodness and what he has done. Let's go to Bergenfield, New Jersey. Jose, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call. It's a pleasure to speak to you again.
Thank you.
I wanted to share with you and with your audience what the Lord did with my mother and how he gave her this incredible healing. She had had an extremely bad case of bursitis for about a week, and she could not move her arm at all. She had it in a sling, and as you know, I worship at Beth Israel Worship Center in Wayne, New Jersey. This was back when we were in Lodi. After the service, I approached the elders, and I asked them if they could pray for my mother. So they anointed their index fingers with oil, surrounded my mother, and we began to pray. As we were praying, my mother, all of a sudden, I heard her exclaim, lifting her arm up above her head and saying, an incredible surprise. I don't have any pain. I don't have any pain. I can move my arm. It was the most amazing thing right out of the pages of the Bible.
You know what's dramatic, though, Jose? You know, someone will say, well, she wasn't blind. She wasn't missing a limb. True. But that's what her condition was. And look, to be instantly healed of a cold or bursitis, I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying? It's just a stunning thing when you know something is wrong It's really there. It's a real problem. And suddenly it disappears. Thanks for sharing that, Jose. I'm smiling as I hear it. Look, you may be listening and saying, I'm not healed. Well, number one, rejoice with those who are. Doesn't that make sense? Rejoice with those who have been healed. Number two, perhaps faith will rise in your own heart for healing. And number three, if you're not healed, you can receive faith and encouragement to worship the Lord and praise Him in the midst of whatever condition you have and grow in Jesus and glorify Him while not yet healed. And one day the resurrection will come and there'll be no more sickness and disease. This is the time, the opportunity for healings to come. By the way, our phone lines are completely flooded and testimonies flooding in on Facebook. And this is not to the glory of our ministry. I've got nothing to do with any of these. I didn't say if we prayed the prayer of faith to you and you're healed, send in a gift and we want to share your... No. I'm just asking, did Jesus miraculously do something in your life by way of healing? Sharon in Ronkonkoma, Long Island, our time is short. If you can give a condensed version, that would be awesome. Go ahead.
Short, my husband is alive.
All right. Amazing. Let's hear a little bit more.
Okay. He had a heart attack. He was having a heart attack. He was 42 years old. They told me that he was going to die. They asked if I was alone in the hospital, and I said no. I said my father was with me, and my husband's parents were on their way. They asked how far away they were because they said it's going to be over momentarily and it's not going to end well. I just said no. I was not a very faithful follower at the time. However, I was raised by very strong Christian parents, and I knew where to go. We prayed, and my husband lived. He had an LAD, which is the widowmaker, the one that you die from, and 40-year-old men that have heart attacks die.
Yeah.
My husband lived because of the power of prayer, not a doubt in my mind.
How old is he now, Sharon?
He'll be 55 in March.
Wow.
And this was a man who had minutes left to live. Last June, he was cleaning some furniture with a power washer. By the way, my husband is a heavy equipment diesel mechanic. Not only is he alive, he works on tractor trailers, buses. He went back to work completely and totally healed. He could outdo anything of guys half his age on his job. He also, last summer, he had gotten hurt. A power washer nailed him and sliced his arm to pieces. We went to the emergency room. They wanted us to stay. They wanted him to stay. They were going to do all kinds of x-rays. They were worried about compartment syndrome because of the stuff that was shot up his arm. My husband was very upset, and I just said, no, you're not going to have to stay. And he agreed with me in
prayer. And the end of the story, just with time, the end of the story is?
I told you, he's alive.
He's alive? All right, and obviously we'll get the rest of the arm story, Sharon. You could fill Dwight in as to the rest of the story of what happened to his arm as well. Listen, think of this. If God is the healer, and if God is on the side of healing, then doctors and nurses and hospitals are doing a good work. If God was the one who wanted to make us sick, then doctors and hospitals and nurses are working against his purposes, no? So let's be thankful for medical help. Let's be thankful for medical intervention, all on the same side with those of us praying in faith. Friends, I have a unique opportunity to be in China next week. We have some special programming you're going to be excited about as well. A meeting with Chinese church leaders. It's going to be a very unique setting. Home for a week after that, and then go to India, where we broadcast live from India. And I want to encourage you to hold our hands up. We have a lot of extra expenses at this time of the year. These are special trips, special ministry times. So here's what I want to do. For your gift of any size to help with these next two trips, my China trip, my India trip in the next 3 weeks, your gift of any size, I want to send you a copy of the Authentic Fire book as soon as it's out. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. Be as generous as you can, but your gift of any size, I want to send this to you, 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast again. To all of our veterans listening and families of veterans, thank you for your service, for your sacrifice. The scriptures even use the figure of a soldier to point to our lives and how we are to live. Ephesians 6, telling us to put on the full armor of God. We're in a spiritual war. We are up against demonic powers. People are not our enemies. Even if people oppose us and hate us, people are not our enemies. It's demonic powers out to destroy those people as well as to destroy us. And because of that, we bless those who curse us and we pray for those who persecute us and despitefully use us, because we realize we have a common enemy, Satan, who wants to destroy them just as much as he wants to destroy us. 866-348-7884. Joey, get clip number one ready. We're bringing encouragement your way today. We are bringing encouragement by way of asking folks to share testimonies. If God has miraculously touched them, healed them, healed you, touched you, a family member, something that's truly miraculous, something that there's not a medical explanation for. Now, I fully understand that the greatest amount of healing takes place simply because of the way God made the human body. So on a daily basis, the human body is fighting for our health because of the way God made us. And then I also realize that, especially in the West where we have a lot of medical care, that the next amount of healing that is taking place is taking place through medicine and through medical care, for which I am thankful. So praise God for that. We're grateful for doctors and hospitals and medicine. We also know there are many times that doctors, hospitals, medicine, the best medical care cannot bring a solution. We know there are other times when God simply intervenes, and even those who say that the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of healing are not normative for today, they agree that God can still heal if he chooses to, so we ought to rejoice when he does, regardless of our theology. One of our spiritual sons, a grad from our ministry school, preaches literally to millions of people in Africa and other parts of the world. If you ever listen to him preach, it is a clear, basic gospel message. We have sinned. We are guilty. Jesus died, took our place. The Son of God took our place, took what we deserve. We put our faith in him. He will cleanse us from our sins, free us, and give us a new life to live for God. And he is alive. He is risen from the dead. And he's a healer. He's a deliverer. A simple, clear gospel message. And then they pray for the sick. Well, he's in Ghana right now, and he sent us this testimony on video. It's really remarkable to see. There was a Muslim man who had been deaf or very hard of hearing. I don't know if he was totally deaf, but partially deaf at the very least in both ears. He had missed his train. He just was in the main part of the city just sleeping. He heard the gospel meeting, and here he's a Muslim. He's on stage testifying to what happened. Listen to this.
I heard that you were deaf in both ears for 2 years. Is that true?
My name is Mohammed.
I have this problem for 2 years. So I'm not even trying to come here. I came from Tema. I came to Kanisi. By going to take a train, I make late. So I say, let me come to the Independence Square. You see, I came to the Independence Square. I was sitting down here, just here. I did not even pray. I did not do anything. So I wake up and I can hear, and the ears was telling me I can hear. People who know me can testify that I am very happy. I think Jesus is a God. He understands me.
So as a Muslim, he ends up confessing Jesus is the Son of God, which is anathema to Muslims. And you can hear the crowd there going crazy. It was fascinating to see when I posted that on Facebook, some people rejoicing and other people criticizing. We'll be back with your testimonies.
Flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to be very clear today as we are sharing testimonies of God's gracious, healing, miracle-working power, something that should cause all of us to rejoice. I want to be perfectly clear. I'm simply asking you to share testimonies and asking people to post them on Facebook. I am not claiming to be able to verify all these testimonies. All right? That's the first thing. The second thing is none of these have anything to do with me. These are not people we prayed for on the air or sent out healing cloths to or something like this. This is exclusively related to encouraging our hearts in terms of the faithfulness and goodness of God, being witnesses, testifying. It builds our faith. As I was putting some things in my authentic fire book and recounting things that have happened in my own life over the years, it built my faith and reminded me of the goodness and faithfulness and nearness of God and His activity in our lives. We struggle like everybody else. We have ups and downs like everybody else. We have hardships like everybody else. Sometimes we hit a wall while praying. Sometimes we don't know why someone we prayed for died. That's reality. We've all lived through that. At the same time, we don't want that to steal our joy. We don't want that to steal our sense of God's nearness and goodness. And we want to be able to rejoice with others who are touched and to build our own faith in the process. Someone posted this on Facebook. I've been personally healed from warts all over hands as a child after the doctors could not fix it. My father was raised up miraculously from chronic pancreatitis. Could not eat for 7 months. Mom just healed from breast cancer this year. It's really real. No exaggeration. Again, if your first attitude and response is skepticism, you should think about that and ask why. At the least, your attitude should be, oh, that would be wonderful. That would be, I don't know if that's true, but that would be wonderful. As opposed to, yeah, right, sure. Now, if you don't know Jesus, you're not a follower of Jesus at all, and you just tune into the show and you think, who is this guy and what's his gimmick here, and they're trying to get money out of people. Actually, we're trying to encourage your faith, and perhaps these things really are happening as you're listening. Perhaps the real God that you don't know or even deny is more real than you could ever imagine. Go to the phones in one moment. James, I was diagnosed with, myasthenia gravis in 2001 by my neurologist, Dr. Kaplan, was placed on medication that at the time was used for this and soldiers who had been exposed to nerve gas. I was a very active man. My world had just crumbled because I was many times too weak to walk across the house. In 2006, after years of praying for healing, unable to work, I decided to plant a garden because I was home full-time and I had to sell my business. I'd done a lot of work praying in that garden on my knees. I noticed it began feeling stronger and stronger and could work in the garden for an hour longer at a time. My medication was making me ill, so I went back to my little Jewish doctor, neurologist, and he ran tests and was totally baffled at my strength and said there was no longer any sign of the disease, and all he could say was that it went into remission. He has, all bold caps, never seen that before. He told me everybody with this disease dies with this disease, and then James says Jehovah Rapha, or the real Hebrew, Yahweh Rofecha, the Lord is your healer. Jesus is the healer. I talked to him about Yeshua before, and he told me that he and his wife, a former Jehovah's Witness, were both atheists. He saw a miracle with his own eyes and cannot explain it any other way than God is alive and well. Let's see, that's the exciting thing. He said, that's some carnival sideshow. No, no, no. This points us to the resurrected Jesus. This encourages us that he's real and alive. Look, in the service yesterday morning at Fire, my colleague Scott was going to be preaching from Psalm 27 and about waiting hopefully for the Lord. And during the worship time, one of our other leaders got up to lead in prayer. A certain time during the service, one of the leaders leads in prayer. And he felt led to read from what? Psalm 27, having no clue whatsoever that Scott was about to preach from that text. And then shortly after that, a visiting pastor from Canada, who 32 years ago had been healed of inoperable and incurable bone cancer. God saved him and then healed him. He stood and shared his testimony, which was a mini message, a microcosm of the message that Scott was about to bring. And I just sat there thinking, you know, how many times has that happened? How many times have I gone to preach somewhere and in prayer ended up on the most obscure text and feel I'm supposed to preach from there, only to find out that that's the very text that the leadership team had been praying over and felt that the Lord was speaking that verse to them. I remember being in a service one time, a Spirit-filled Methodist church, charismatic Methodist church in Columbus, Ohio. And as I was praying during the service, I felt to shift my message, and I ended up shifting it to a totally different text, a fairly obscure verse that I had very, very rarely talked about in my life. And shortly after that, someone delivers a prophetic word. They speak a prophecy, and what do they speak? They speak out that very verse. I can't tell you how many times that has happened. What does it mean? It just means that we're God's people. We're in his family, and he's working among us by his Spirit. All right, let's go to Brooklyn. Rosa, welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call. I have two miracles. One person lived, and the other one, the person died. Both were miracles, though. My mother, during the war, she had my first two brothers, and my father was away. She was alone, and she had to feed my first two brothers with milk, and her breast got infected. And she was swollen. The doctor said it was really bad. She didn't know if she was going to live or die. She cried for so many nights, until one night she told me, when I was born, of course, when I was an adult, is that she felt hands next to her. And she woke up middle of the night. She saw what she thought was her mother. Her mother had passed away. And her mother was telling her, shut up, you. What are you crying for? You know, you're going to be fine. Squeezed her so hard that it was hurting her. She went to sleep. In the morning, she woke up. She was all healed. She was all wet. There's another miracle, though, which the person died.
Rosa, it's not that I don't want to hear that, but just I want to get to as many different callers as possible. And let me say this. There are times we pray and the opposite of what we're expecting happens, or it seems a supernatural result that's the opposite of what we expect. We understand that. No one's saying this is a push-button formula with a push-button God, to be totally clear. But Rosa, thanks for sharing that. And of course, dead relatives don't appear to us, but can we have a dream? And in the dream, God sends a message to us. And of course, those things happen all the time. And let me encourage you with this, all right? And thank you for the call. Let me encourage you with this, friends. The gentleman who was healed from inoperable bone cancer, I've preached at his church a couple of times. He's a fine brother. One of my close friends has ministered for him many times and knows his family very well. He was a lost sinner when he was diagnosed with inoperable bone cancer. Watching Billy Graham meeting, he came to faith. Congratulations to Dr. Graham on 95 amazing years. He came to faith and then subsequently was healed. No medical treatment. There was nothing that could be done. And he's healthy now, vibrant, more than 30 years later. And he got up and quoted from Mark, the 11th chapter, where Jesus says, if you speak to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Do not doubt in your heart, it'll happen. And it struck me, you know, a lot of people don't like that verse because you associate it with some Word of Faith teacher. You associate it, maybe say, with Kenneth Copeland teaching it. Or you think of Benny Hinn speaking it. And you have a bad attitude towards it. Hey, Benny Hinn didn't write that. Kenneth Copeland didn't write that. John MacArthur didn't write that. Mike Brown didn't write that. Jesus spoke it. And one of the things I encourage in my Authentic Fire book is don't let anything rob you of the truth of the whole Bible. In other words, if God promised something to us, just because someone somewhere misused a text or abused a text or misquoted it or exaggerated it, or sometimes in your own life, maybe you got burned trying to believe it or hold to it, don't let that steal the truth from you. If Jesus said it, Sarah, what does that mean? What does that mean? 866-34-TRUTH. Oh, let's just see. Another testimony on Facebook. I had shin splints in both shins, painful. Went to a worship gathering and told Jesus I would jump for joy and endure the pain for him because he was worthy. The pain was excruciating. After about 5 seconds of jumping, the Lord healed both my legs. I wasn't even asking to be healed. He loves me. That brings a smile to my face. Let's just see. Do I have another quick one I could read? Oh, let's see. Sherry, my daughter, she was 8 and had battled a form of strep. Since she was 4, she would have regular outbreaks around her mouth 3 to 4 times a year, sometimes more. One day she saw it coming, not full-blown. Asked me to lay hands on her. I asked her if she believed. She said yes. I laid hands, spirit-led, spoke healing in Jesus' name. She's 15 now. Not had a case since. God is awesome. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I just want to throw out a quick little thought for you. 866-34-TRUTH. Our phone lines continue to be jammed with people who want to glorify the Lord for his power to heal and deliver. If Jesus does it, we want to be thankful. We want to encourage others with his faithfulness and goodness. This could be the very thing that builds your faith so that you can take hold of God and say, yes, all things are possible to him who believes. Just because it gets abused, just because people may abuse it on TV, just because they're exaggerated reports, just because they're charlatans, doesn't mean God is not the healer, doesn't mean he's not doing amazing things today. I just want to throw out this real quick thought, as we've gotten tons of questions about speaking in tongues lately. People say, well, it has to be an intelligible earthly language, otherwise it's of no use. Well, when you pray by yourself, if I was praying Portuguese or French or Telugu or Farsi, I'm praying by myself and I don't understand that language. It's all the same as if I'm speaking a heavenly language or something else. Follow from my own understanding, it's all the same, right? And if God can be giving me insight as I'm praying and my spirit can be built up so I can serve others better, does it matter if it's an intelligible earthly language or if it's a heavenly language? Just a little question to throw out to you. Okay, more testimonies. Jason in Charlotte, North Carolina, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, thanks for taking my call. I love your ministry and your school, and I meet with fire students every Monday for lunch. So
wonderful.
Yeah, I love it a lot. So I was calling because I've been a skateboarder for 17 years, and first time I fractured my growth plate in my ankle, I was 13, and the doctors told me about how weak it would be in my mom and just to be weary of me skateboarding. But because I loved it so much, I kept skating and kept fracturing it over and over and over, and I'm 27 now, and a couple years ago, I was skating at a local skate park and ended up fracturing it once again. And
yeah.
My friends had to, I was laying back on my skateboard and they wheeled me out to my truck and had to, it was pretty tough getting home, but I had to, you know, get, you know, ankle brace again and crutches and all of that and go to work the next morning. And, when I went to work, I went to let everyone know that I had to get another technician to service their accounts. And when I had pulled up to work, a guy that we just hired, he had just given his life to the Lord a couple weeks prior. And when I pulled up, he saw me struggling to get out of my truck with the crutches and everything. And he asked me what happened, and I told him. And so he looked at me, and he said, you know, with just that innocent, you know, faith of a child as a new believer, and said, well, you believe in healing, don't you? And I had to think for a second, and I said, yeah, I do. And he just immediately commanded my ankle to be healed in the name of Jesus, and it was. And I was able to put my, you know, my foot down. I walked back over to the truck, put the crutches in, and worked ever since. And so it was instantly healed the very next day.
Really? And
yeah.
You understand the depth and seriousness of the fracture and the pain, and that it wasn't just going to
go. Oh, yeah.
Go.
I mean, because I've been through it so many times.
All right. Now hang on. Let me play the skeptic's role here, okay? But because you're local,
sure.
I'm going to press this one a little bit more. You're not telling me that you endured the pain and hobbled around by faith and grimaced. You're saying that the pain left and you're able to function normally.
Yes, 100%.
That sounds like
after,
the Lord.
It sounds like the Lord to me. I mean, it's like someone taking two number two pencils and just snapping them over their knees, you know, and that's what it sounded like. And the other people in the skate park, I mean, you can hear it. It was very loud, and I mean, it's happened so many times over the years, but thank the Lord that was the last time, and I didn't have to feel the pain but for a day, so.
Praise God. Hey, Jason, thanks for sharing that, and glad you're meeting with our FIRE students. 866-348-7844. Same thing with you, Matt. Skateboard injury? No, it wasn't a skateboard injury, but the healing. No. Oh, okay. Well, all right. Praise God for his faithfulness. Can I just tell you a quick little story? And Alfred, Alexis, John, Joe, others, I want to get to all of your calls, so stay with me. I'm going to continue taking calls in the next hour. Right about the time I was getting saved, right before I got saved, I got a bad case of hives. I remember feeling this itching on my lower back, and the next thing spread around my body and just all of my arms. It was, if you ever had hives, you know, it's not cancer. You're not going to die from this. And I've shared this before. I just want to share it again today. But is this tormenting itch, just tormenting. And, you know, put on calamine lotion. I think did these Aveeno baths, whatever, you know, my mom could figure out, my mom and dad could come up with. And anyway, got saved. I'd gone to the doctor, and this was November, December of 1971. I went to the doctor, and he gave me these pills to take and said it'd take about 24 hours for them to take effect and for symptoms to completely disappear, and then to keep taking them, and then when there was no outbreak of any kind, when I saw no symptoms for several days, to go off the pills, which I did. Now, as a brand new believer, when I got hit really badly, I got out of bed, I got on my knees to pray, and I asked God to heal me. But I remember thinking, I don't know if he does this. I remember hearing someone says, if you have to agree, if two agree, and I literally didn't know if he would hear me if I prayed by myself. I was confused. I prayed. I cried. I wasn't healed. And it's just this tormenting thing. I put on the calamine lotion, waited the thing out. Anyway, took the medicine. And after several days, no more symptoms. So I went off the medicine. I was on my way to school. I'm in high school. I'm 16 years old. I'm on the bus going to school. It's winter, you know, my long sleeve flannel shirt. I used to wear those even in the summer because of using drugs and, you know, my arm shooting drugs. So I got my long sleeve flannel shirt on. I start to feel an itch, and I was like, what? And I roll up my sleeves. I thought, oh, no, hives. And I'm talking about they start spreading up my arm, these angry red blotches, big, you know, blotches spreading up my arm, skin raised, both arms. And I thought, oh, no. I don't have the pills anyway. Even if I had them with me, it's going to take 24 hours before anything happens. I was in a panic. I got to school a few minutes later, got into a classroom before the other students came in. Another guy was in there who was a new believer. Oh, someone to agree with. So I said, pray with me right now for God to heal me of these hives. We prayed. Next thing, the door opens. Students come flooding in the room. I got distracted for a minute. I look back within 2 minutes, and these had spread all up my arms and down my back. They were spreading all over my body. Everything instantly, totally gone. Now, trust me, I've prayed for other things and not seen results, but for a new believer to experience that, wow, he's real. Friends, would you hold my hands up and help me as I go to China and India in the next 3 weeks? Your gifts would really make a difference. And for your gift of any size, I want to send you my authentic FIRE book due out in about 3 weeks. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. You can order a signed copy online, otherwise 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, when you hear testimonies of the miraculous of Jesus touching and healing, step back and praise him. He's risen from the dead. He's alive. But would you rather be discouraged or encouraged? Would you rather have your faith torn down or built up? Well, prepare to be encouraged and built up today on the Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is Veterans Day. It is Veterans Day. Blessings and greetings to all of you listening, in particular to veterans and to families of veterans and to families of those serving in the military right now. Thank you for fighting for our freedoms. Thank you for fighting for the freedoms of others. Thank you for the sacrifice you have made. And the image of a soldier reminds all of us as followers of Jesus that we must endure difficulties, hardships, testings, attacks as we follow him. No one said it would be easy. No one said it would be a cakewalk. There is such a word as cakewalk, isn't there? No one said it would be a cakewalk or a walk in the park. The good news is that God's grace is more than sufficient. The good news is, no matter what situation you're in as his child, as you cast yourself on him, he will help you. How many times? It's happened to all of us, I'm sure. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. How many times has it happened that you got to a point when you were in over your head and you knew there was no hope and there was no way out? And that's when you found yourself casting everything on God. And truly, it's not just a trite saying, man's extremity is God's opportunity. We're taking some testimonies today of those who've been miraculously healed and touched, not to argue a doctrinal point, because my cessationist friends believe that God can still heal, and sometimes he does. So we just want to glorify the Lord together. We just want to glorify Jesus who is risen from the dead. We've been flooded by testimonies on Facebook. Our phone lines have been lit up for the last hour. And I want to glorify the Lord together with you as we hear about his faithfulness in your lives. It may encourage others to believe God for breakthrough. Let's go to Freeport, Long Island, New York. Alexis, thanks for calling The Line of Fire. All right, tell you what, Alexis, I'm unable to hear you. Dwight will check to see what's up with your phone, but stay right there, and we'll find out what is up with your phone. Let's go to Alfred in Mount Vernon, New York. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown.
Yes.
I'm a veteran. I'm a 2-times veteran, during the Korean conflict, non-combatant, and I'm a veteran.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that, sir.
Army of the Lord.
Awesome.
And about 10 years ago, I suffered with severe headaches from the time I was 13 years old. Even though I went in the military, I missed out on 2 big military events as a result of these headaches. And I had them up to the last 10 years. My bishop prayed for me, and I told him what I was asking him to pray for me for, and he said, you're not going to have any more. And I haven't had any more headaches. If my mother was here, she could confirm I used to have severe headaches, and I haven't had a headache since then.
How many years now, Alfred?
10 years.
10 years, and you had them, how old are you?
I'm 78 years old.
Whoa, so you had them from the age of 13 to the age of, into your 60s. You had them over 50 years. You were prayed for, and you never had them since. That sounds like the Lord to me. That sounds like the goodness and kindness of God. Hey, does it surprise you that Jesus does things like that?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I've got a question for you. I've got a question for you about understanding and knowing the will of God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I can only do what I see the Father doing. What does that tell us about God's heart towards the suffering and God's heart regarding healing? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We are sharing testimonies of praise. I just wanted to encourage everyone. I'm getting so many encouraging testimonies, people miraculously touched by God, amazing things happening. I don't mean through our ministry. I don't mean that we've been praying for them or things like that. I just mean, as I've been posting some neat testimonies and others have been posting their testimonies in response, it's wonderful to hear. It's encouraging to hear. And many people say, well, if God's still healing, where are the healings? Well, they're taking place all over the place in glorious and wonderful ways. I posted a link on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, from Dan Kalenda, a grad from our ministry school, a spiritual son who preaches a clear, simple message of faith and repentance in Jesus as an evangelist and prays for the sick, ministers extensively in Africa, has literally preached to millions. A humble man, loves the Lord, and there was an amazing miracle that took place in Ghana during one of the meetings as a Muslim man was healed and then came to the platform and with struggle confessed Jesus as the Son of God, which of course Muslims don't believe. And Matt posted this on my Facebook page. Dr. Brown, I'm in tears. I was deaf in my right ear for 27 years due to spinal meningitis as a toddler. On March 16th, 2003, by the way, March 16th is my birthday. On March 16th, 2003, I was miraculously healed while sitting in church. I didn't pray. No one did. The Lord just reached down and healed me in front of the whole church. I was on the front row and I had 20 minutes earlier been involved in a skit. Get this, as a deaf man, I was healed by Jesus. I know the feeling that the man in the video, Muhammad, has. I felt it such joy. Isn't that remarkable? Spinal meningitis as a toddler, 27 years, deaf in his right ear. He's sitting in church. He's just finished performing in a skit in the church where he is a deaf man who's healed, and as he sits there 20 minutes later, Jesus touches him, and he's healed. He hadn't even been praying for it, and he's been fine ever since. In fact, has been working in audio-related ministry all those years. 866-34-TRUTH. What's written in Psalm 34? Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Brooke posted this on Facebook. My daughter was healed of asthma. She was born slightly premature and had breathing problems for several years thereafter, even being hospitalized at 4 months old. We prayed for 3 years that God would heal her. She'd have breathing problems every time she got a cold. Finally, one day she got a cold and no asthma attack. It's been 7 years since then, and she's still asthma-free. Praise the Lord. As far as I know, that doesn't just suddenly disappear one day and never come back unless the Lord is graciously involved in this. Looking at these. Okay, tell you what. Let me go to the phones, and then I'm going to share a fascinating story with you. Cynthia in the Bronx, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my phone call. Well, my testimony today is that I was diagnosed in the mid-20s, when I was in my mid-20s, with polycystic ovarian syndrome.
And
you develop cysts on your ovaries.
Mm.
And if left untreated, you can develop ovarian cancer.
Wow,
so that was some pretty serious information to take in at an early age. And what the doctor decided to do was to place me on the pill. One of the symptoms of that disorder is irregular menstrual cycles. That's how you develop the cysts on your ovaries. And so he placed me on the pill, and then I started to do research on it to find out what some of the side effects were, and one of them was breast cancer. So I decided that I didn't want to take the pill because, I didn't want to end up developing some other serious illness or a disease because of the pill. So mm-hmm. I told the Lord, you know, God, I leave it in your hands. If you choose to take me because of ovarian cancer, then so be it. But I'm not taking the pill because I don't want to develop another disorder or illness. And
right.
I don't recommend that for everybody. That was my choice. I left mm-hmm. it in the Lord's hands. And soon after that, I developed regular menstrual cycles, and I have been healed for 20 years. I even got pregnant. I asked the doctor later on, about 10 years later, during the time I was getting pregnant, if I had any symptoms or signs of that, if I had been healed. And he said, well, if you have your regular menstrual cycle, you don't have polycystic ovarian syndrome anymore. So I have a healthy 8-year-old boy, got
Praise
pregnant,
God.
And I've been fine and healed for 20 years.
That's the goodness of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, Cynthia. I appreciate that. I appreciate the way you shared that. 866-34-TRUTH. If you have experienced clearly miraculous healing in your own life, again, we're very grateful for medical doctors. We understand that a great amount of healing happens every day through medical doctors, hospitals, nurses, caregivers in different ways, through medicine. And then the way God's created us, the body taking care of itself, and then if we take care of it properly, it has a lot of healing ingredients within the body. It's an ongoing miracle of God's grace, the way he made us. And we also know that he brings miracles of healing along the way. Years ago, I got very hostile to the idea of divine healing. Although I had been miraculously healed of a bad case of hives instantly as a new believer, I shared some of that last hour. And I had gotten a breakthrough with bad hay fever, and God had touched me. Other things I prayed for, didn't see results, saw people that were really sick and ill, and they weren't healed. And it just made me start to question things. And as I got more intellectual in my approach to God, my questions became greater to the point I became very hostile to the idea of healing. This was in the late 70s, early 80s. I was in my car one day, and there was a simple preacher from Texas, so he had a Texas accent and style, and he's on the radio, and he's a healing evangelist, and he says, you know, in Bible days, it was the devil who made people sick and Jesus who made them well. Today, people tell us it's Jesus who makes them sick and the devil who makes them well. And with his accent and all that. And I remember, oh, I was so mad. I was listening. I was mad. And I thought, but he's got a good argument there. Jesus didn't go up to well people and touch them and make them sick. He did go up to sick people and touch them and make them well. What does that tell us in terms of the general revealed heart and will of God? All right, so quick story for you. This came up on Facebook the other day. I'm just going to share it with you. Take it or leave it, okay? I'm basing nothing in my personal life on this for or against. I'm just sharing it with you. You can completely reject it and benefit from this radio ministry the rest of your life. You can accept it. You're not going to benefit necessarily anymore. I'm just going to share this, all right? There was a woman in the choir in the Brownsville Revival. And during the service, you'd see her head shaking left to right, like she was making the no sign, just shaking left to right very strongly the entire service. And a critic of the revival is now a friend of mine. I know his views on things change, but we're friends. He saw that and was very concerned. He spoke to a neurologist, showed this person the video. I believe it was a neurologist, and they said, that's dangerous. That could really hurt this person, you know, the constant head movement. And he said, how can you let that go on? That's obviously not the Lord, and why is that happening? So I didn't know the story at all. So I asked the woman, whose name was Val, I asked her for her story. She was finishing up her master's degree, I believe, at that point in special ed. She worked with needy kids in education. She was a school teacher. She had known the Lord, but was not living for him. She was living with her boyfriend and got in a bad car accident. As a result of the accident, her neck got fused. She was in constant pain. She was unable to look to the left or to the right. In order to look at you, if you were to her left, she'd have to turn her whole upper body to look at you. If you were to her right, she'd have to turn her whole upper body that way to look at you. She was in a service in the revival, heard a message preached on repentance and surrender. knew that she had to break up with her boyfriend, knew that she had to stop sleeping with him and surrender her life to the Lord. And she went up to the altar to respond, repented, was not thinking about healing or anything, repented of her sin, surrendered her life to the Lord. And at that moment, her neck was instantly healed, was no longer fused. She could swing her neck from left to right perfectly. And thereafter, whenever she was in a service and felt God's presence, she'd begin to move her neck, and her neck would swing from left to right. I'm sure she could have stopped it. To her, it was an ongoing sign of God's miracle presence. Now, you could say that's crazy, or you could say, wow. All I'm saying is there was a story behind the story, and I told some folks on Facebook I'd share it on the air today. So there, you heard it. Back with some more testimonies. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Would you rather be encouraged or discouraged? Would you rather have your faith built up or your faith torn down? Let's build faith today. You know, we go through hard times. It's Veterans Day. I can't imagine some of the trauma that some of you have passed through serving in the military, lost loved ones, some of you. I've never been in the physical military. I've been in the Lord's Army. Obviously, all we can do is compare. But obviously, there are times when all hell breaks loose against you, and you're literally seeing friends and family wiped out, people close to you wiped out, and it takes every bit of courage in you just to make it. I want to say that, friends, spiritually, if you know the Lord, whatever you're going through, whatever hell is breaking loose against you, whatever hardship and difficulty is coming your way, God's grace is sufficient, and He will carry you through. 866-348-7884. If you have a testimony, a miraculous healing testimony of you or a family member to the glory of the Lord, very quickly, many of you know that our largest team of missionaries, of all of our missionaries around the world, is in the Philippines, including men, women, and children. We have 50 people over there. And a massive storm, considered one of the worst storms in recorded history in the region, hit the Philippines over the weekend. There are thousands and thousands killed. There are hundreds of thousands homeless. There is massive devastation on this network of several thousand islands. Many of the people very poor. Thankfully, our missionaries, all of them in the different places where they live, 100% untouched, not even a bad storm hit their area. Was it God's miraculous intervention? Was it simply they're in the right place? Either way, we're really grateful. We're thrilled that we're not hearing reports about their lives being taken. At the same time, what about all the other lives? What about all the suffering? I want to give you a practical way to get involved and to help. And this is exclusively to help those in the Philippines. One of our missionaries came off the field a couple of years ago to develop Compassionate Joe Coffee, to sell coffee, terrific coffee product, I understand, and then ultimately open up shops. Why go to Starbucks or somewhere else where you can go to Compassionate Joe's? And as you order the coffee, all the profits go to help starving children, needy children in the Philippines. So the money is already going to the Philippines. If you want to get some Christmas gifts, some coffee, or just be generous and help the Philippines at the same time, go to CompassionateJoe.com, all right? CompassionateJoe.com. And you'll make a difference in lives in the midst of some real, real need. Let's go to Freeport, Long Island. Alexis, when we tried to talk to you last time, somehow our phone connection was bad, but glad you're still there. Love to hear your testimony.
Well, several years ago, while my son was in college, we received football one morning, and we went.
All right, Alexis, I'm so sorry, but when we check the phones off the air, everything's fine. When we get you back on the air, I literally can't hear a word. Dwight, maybe he could share his testimony with you in brief, and you could type it out for me. I'm so sorry. I want to hear your story. Donovan in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Beautiful testimony. Matter of fact, my wife wouldn't have a child, and we went to church, pastor lays that on us and pray for us. And in the space of a month, my wife was pregnant. We have a 10-year-old son right now.
Neat. How long was it that you were unable to have children?
Well, she goes through 4 miscarriages, and the doctor says, we went to a specialist in by a Methodist hospital, and they said if they even do a surgery that would cost $20,000, they don't guarantee that she'll be able to have a child because of her womb damage. And she was supposed to do the surgeries on Thursday, and we went to church on the Wednesday, and pastor prayed for us. And when we came home, she went to the bathroom, and she screamed out in the bathroom and said she passing out some brown stuff. So when I went in and saw it, I said to her, the Lord is healing her. And when she go to the doctor said, nothing is there, everything is okay. And by the following month, she got pregnant.
Amazing. So 4 miscarriages, damaged womb, $20,000 in surgery, maybe she could have a kid, and God bypasses that and heals her, Donovan. That's wonderful to hear. And you know, some of our team members here, Randy and Andrew, Randy who serves in our shipping department, and Andrew who's my travel and schedule coordinator, they've got an amazing little boy, Cyrus, going on 2 years old, not there yet. But Andrea went through 4 miscarriages in a fairly short period of time. Doctors told her she'll never be able to conceive. If she does conceive, she'll never be able to carry a child. If she does carry a child, she won't be able to carry it to term. If she does carry it to term, it will be severely handicapped. And 4 miscarriages, and now their little miracle baby. Donovan, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. I want to tell you one story when we get back. As I get ready to go to India in less than a month, I want to tell you one story. It's just so precious, and I heard from my friends in India last night, and we were just rejoicing in the Lord together in his goodness. I'm really grateful to the Lord. 12 hours ago, so it was 3:18, so a little over 12 hours ago, I finished the first draft of Authentic Fire. Strange Fire has been written. It's about to come out. I wrote Authentic Fire, Response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire, a book that I believe will build unity, a book that will build faith, a book that will also expose error, where I believe my elder brother John MacArthur has been wrong, but in a way that will edify and build up rather than tear down. I just got the first endorsement in, so grateful for it, from Dr. Sam Storms, others coming in, and God will enable me to write about 250 pages in about 2 weeks' time. That's the grace and mercy of God in the midst of a heavy schedule. So I'm a little bit worn out, but very blessed. This week, we work hard on editing the book in detail and then annotating it, adding in several hundred endnotes, get it to the publisher by the weekend. I leave for China on Sunday morning. And if you'd like to help me, and by the way, the book will be out within a month. If you'd like to help me, a unique opportunity to meet with Chinese leaders this coming week, and then get home for a week, Thanksgiving, and then go to India for our annual trip, work with an extraordinary ministry there. They've planted 6,000 churches in tribal areas, but we need your help. The trips are expensive, and we have needs on the home base as I travel. So if you could help with your support, your gift of any size, and I mean that, your gift of any size, I want to send you a copy of Authentic Fire. And if you'd like to pre-order a signed copy, you can do that on our website, AskDrBrown.org. If you're listening on one place, you can just click on the special offer there. But your gift of any size, I want to send you a free copy of Authentic Fire when the book comes out within a month. If you can be generous, whatever you have, we appreciate it. So stand with us, will you? Hold my hands up in China and India. We'll send you the book as a gift. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thanks, friends, for joining us on this Veterans Day today. So blessed to be with you on the broadcast as we're bringing words of encouragement and hope and faith. I just have been getting so many testimonies sent in, and testimonies of miraculous healing. I don't mean that we prayed for people and they were healed. I mean just these testimonies have been pouring in, and I just want to encourage faith. And again, thank you to those who served in the military. Thank you for those currently serving and family members who have sacrificed by having loved ones serve. We are all indebted to you. As I quote it in the first hour, Paul writes in 2 Timothy 2:3 to Timothy, endure hardship as a good soldier of Messiah Jesus. And then he writes about some of his fellow workers in a couple of places and refers to them as soldiers or fellow soldiers. There's something in that for us in terms of persevering, in terms of overcoming obstacles, in terms of not quitting. It's not a matter of us using physical weapons against our enemies. It's a matter of us having the spirit of a soldier. And today on the air, I'm reading some of the many, I'm just a fraction of the many testimonies that have been posted on my Facebook pages. And also inviting you to call in 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, so that you also can bear witness.
I'm a witness. I'm a witness.
Yeah. There's something about bearing witness. There's something about testifying. There's something that happens when you stand up and share what God has done. Maybe nobody knew that before you were saved, you were heavily drug addicted. Maybe they didn't know that you were suicidal and Jesus saves you and delivers you. And now 6 months later, your life is whole and you testify. You know what that does for others when they hear it? You know how it builds faith? In fact, Joey, let's play clip number one again. Here is a Muslim man. He'd missed his train in Ghana. This just happened within, 24, 36 hours. He'd missed his train in Ghana, so he just went to sleep there in the main city in Accra. And there's a major gospel meeting taking place. One of our spiritual sons grad from our ministry school, Dan Cullen, is praying and preaching. There are tens of thousands of people there, loudspeakers, so you're not going to miss this meeting. And as he's sleeping, God touches him. He had been deaf or hard of hearing in both ears for 2 years, and here he is as a Muslim. He's overjoyed, and he's about to confess something about Jesus that Muslims just don't confess. Let's listen.
Sir, I heard that you were deaf in both ears for 2 years. Is that true?
My name is Muhammad.
I have this problem for 2 years, so I'm not even trying to come here. I came from Tema. I came to. And this, by going to take a train, I make late. So I say, let me come to the Independence Square. You see, I came to the Independence Square. I was sitting down here, just here. I did not even pray. I did not do anything. So I wake up and I can hear, and the ears was telling me I can hear. People who know me can testify that I am very happy. I think Jesus is a God. You understand?
Jesus is God. And then he goes on to say he's a messenger, and then Dan Calendar preaches to the crowd and said he's not just a messenger. He's the way, the truth, the life. There's no way to the Father except through him, and just preaches the truth. And then the man, before it's over, confesses what Muslims cannot confess. I mean, this is death in certain places. He says, Jesus is the Son of God. Come on, let's bear witness back with your testimonies of encouragement to the faithfulness of the living God.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Never form your theology in a reactionary way. Never form your theology in a reactionary way. Just because you saw an abuse over here, just because you saw something wrong over there, just because somebody misused a particular scripture, don't withdraw from it yourself. We've got to be careful not to do that, otherwise we'll be imbalanced. 866-34-TRUTH. Someone posted this on Facebook. I've seen so many abuses and heard so many false gospels from many men who put so much emphasis on performing the miraculous that I just fail to trust many of these men. It angers me when the gospel is perverted and physical healing is sought more than spiritual healing. In response, I wrote, don't be reactionary in your theology, be biblical. Otherwise, you are basing your theology on bad experiences. And this man agreed with me. Today on Facebook, I posted this. Have you personally experienced a miraculous healing in your life or in your immediate family? If so, please share it here in brief. I plan to share some encouraging testimonies on the air today. Now, I posted this knowing that cessationists also believe God may heal today, also believe that he may, in his sovereign will, touch someone and heal them. They would just say we can't expect it in the normative way. So cessationists certainly believe in healing as well, just not the same way that I would approach it. This was not meant to prove a doctrinal point, but to encourage. I just asked for testimonies. Someone posted this in response. How many of you have not experienced miraculous healing, even though you beg God to be kind and merciful? That is more prevalent in experience and more biblical than promising God's healing when it very well might not be God's plan to heal. Would you ask God to heal a man who lost a limb? Dear God, restore this man's lost limb. Why not? Because it's ridiculous to assume that God wants to heal everyone who asks. And I wrote to him and said, this is the wrong place for you to post this comment. Why doesn't the Word give lists of everyone who wasn't healed? Why does it share about those who were? To encourage our faith. We understand that many are not healed. We understand that in this world, we're never going to see total perfect results. We're all going to die ultimately, unless Jesus comes in our lifetimes, and we're waiting for resurrection. But why post something so negative and accusatory when all we're saying was glorify the Lord? Here, John posted, I was healed of bronchial pneumonia in 1982. I was so sick, I couldn't even sit up in bed. A friend came and prayed for me. I immediately got up and went to work. Joel, God healed me of deafness in my left ear caused by a burst eardrum from an accident. Through the laying on of hands in the name of Jesus Christ and by the prayer of faith, my hearing was completely, instantly restored. To God be the glory. 866-34-TRUTH. You know, when you hear these testimonies, you know what it does? It brings something to my heart, brings something to your heart. You know, it brings joy. Oh, yeah. Come on, say it. Yeah, I got my feet tapping. It's hard not to tap my feet when I hear joy-filled gospel music like that. I'm serious. And when you testify, you get joy. 866-34-TRUTH. Ron in Raleigh, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, how you doing, Dr. Brown?
Hey.
thank you for the gracious words that you shared for veterans. That is great to hear.
Well, you know, Ron, to tell you the truth, having never been in the military, I'm sure whatever I say falls so short of the sacrifices that have been made. You know, when you realize how many, especially with weaponry today, or with the savagery of war in the past, so many people, young men just going over, you know, for a couple of years have lost virtually everything. Families lost everything. So the sacrifice is immense. And sometimes it's not because of a high, lofty idealism, you know, where they think I'm going to be a martyr for the cause of freedom. It's just, hey, yeah, I think I'm going to serve in the military. So we're deeply indebted to our veterans and to those currently in service. And America and the world would not be where it was without the sacrifice. So it's from the heart. But back to you, sir.
Hey, thank you so much. And I wanted to share some miraculous things that happened in my life, at least over 10. at times the Lord just worked miraculously where I was able to witness and be a part of it. And I'm not saying this trying to bring any honor or glory to myself, just that
It's the Lord's goodness. All right, give me the one that stands out in your mind the most.
I was on Long Island Railroad when I was living in New York, and a gentleman fell on the floor, and he started convulsing. I think he had epilepsy or something like that, or I'm not sure. But he was head was going from side to side, and he was heaving like up and down, laying on the floor. And for some reason, the Lord just moved on me and said, just put your hands on him. So I kneeled down beside him and put my hands on him, and all I said was, Jesus. And he stopped. And he looked up at me, and all the people in the car, in the railroad car, just turned, and they looked at me, and after that happened, I said, thank you, Jesus, to myself. And I stood back up and started reading my paper again.
But, Ron, the thing that excites me the most about that testimony, well, first, that the name of Jesus is powerful. Acts 4, the lame man, they're questioning the apostles, by what power or what name was this man healed? So that's the first thing, that Jesus is glorified and his name is powerful. But secondly, that you're in right relationship with God, that you weren't, reading pornography or something else, just sitting there minding your own business, reading the paper, but you're in right relationship with God, right? So you're ready to step out, and you weren't afraid to do it in front of everybody. What if that person's got some severe medical condition and someone's going to sue you for malpractice? Or what if it gets worse and the name of Jesus is mocked? You just felt, go for it. And Long Island Railroad, come on, I rode the Long Island Railroad for years, or the railroad. And you get a packed car, and this kind of thing happens, easy for fear to set in, man. That's awesome. Thank you, Ron. Maybe another day I'll get to hear some more of these testimonies, but thanks for sharing that. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Atlanta, Georgia. Henry, you're on the line of fire.
Hey, I have this is a testimony about if you've never prayed for anyone before. There may be somebody out there who's never prayed for anyone before. We had these two ladies come to a meeting where we were praying for people, and we encouraged people that had never prayed for each other before. So these two ladies came. One lady had a hole in her heart. So the pastor said, well, would you like to pray for your friend? So she did pray for her friend, and they didn't even get a chance to touch. The power of God was so strong in that room that it just the lady just, boom, just went down. Well, she had to go to the doctor Friday. By the time she got to the service Sunday, the doctor had said that the hole was completely gone, and they put it on paper that it was a medical miracle. And so I just want to encourage you, just use your simple childlike faith. If you've never prayed for anyone before, try it and check it out. I guarantee you, you'll be blessed from here on out.
Henry, that is an awesome testimony, man. Thank you for sharing that. Hey, you have not because you asked not. Isn't that the problem sometimes? We don't even think of praying or asking God. Thank you, Henry. In my debate with cessationist Dr. Sam Waldron on Thursday night of last week, I quoted Jacob, James, the 5th chapter, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the congregation, and they'll lay hands on him, anoint him with oil. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and if he's committed sins, he'll be forgiven, the Lord will raise him up. And there were some comments afterwards where some folks, as I saw some interactions, saying, well, we believe in that too. We believe in, even though we're cessationists, we don't believe the gift of healing is for today, we believe in praying for the sick. And I said, well, can you pray in faith? Can you pray with expectation for healing? Because it's never in the Bible that anyone prayed, Lord, if it be your will, heal. Just to point that out, they asked God to heal. Or, by the Holy Spirit, they rebuked sickness and disease in Jesus' name, and healing came. So many times we don't see results because we don't ask. Why don't we ask more? You say, oh, I'm afraid my prayers won't be answered. Well, hey, why just stay in retreat mode? Assume that if you pray for 1,000 people, not everybody's going to be healed. You understand that. But maybe some will be healed. Maybe a few will be that wouldn't have been. Maybe a miracle will happen. Maybe your faith will be built. Maybe Jesus will become real to someone that doesn't know him. Saturday morning, I debated Reverend Stephen Sizer. Dr. Sizer is a militant opponent of Christian Zionism, has had some very, very harsh things to say about Christians who stand with the Jewish state of Israel today. And finally, we were able to have a debate, very civil, of course. I didn't expect him to be otherwise, and of course, that was how I was. And that was an hour-long Saturday morning. Thursday night was a 90-minute debate on the gifts of the Spirit continuing for today. That was on Thursday night. You can listen to both of them by going to my website. Now, just listen carefully. When you go there, askdrbrown.org. Askdrbrown.org. Click on latest video. Not latest audio, latest video, because they're up on YouTube. You listen to them on YouTube, and some there are even some graphics with it. So go to askdrbrown.org. You'll be deeply blessed as you listen to these two debates, one on Christian support of Israel, one of the gifts of the Spirit for today. Askdrbrown.org. Click on latest video.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is no secret what God can do.
That's true. That's Mahalia Jackson singing that old classic song. Boy, a testimony we didn't get to on the air today. We had a phone connection problem, but Alexis from Freeport, her son was put into a coma after a car accident, told he was going to die by doctors. He was completely physically healed with no traces of the accident. That is the goodness and grace of the Lord. Can I glorify the Lord a little? Can I tell you some things from my own life? I was teaching at Bible School in Long Island, Christ for the Nations Institute, that was in Stony Brook, Long Island, for a period of about 8 years. And I taught there the first 4 years. I was teaching a class on Christ the Healer and what the Scripture said about divine healing. I was a healthy 28-year-old when I got really sick, got a really bad fever. And there was a clear demonic attack. Something happened. I had evidence of a clear demonic attack. All I know is next morning I woke up and I was really sick with a fever. It ended up getting to 104. It would break. I would go teach. I'd come home exhausted, wiped out, go back to bed, fever back and forth for a week. Finally went to the doctor initially just with fever. And anyway, end up going back, x-rays my lungs. I've got severe pneumonia in both lungs. Severe pneumonia. Everyone's baffled. I'm a healthy young man. What in the world's going on? Went to the hospital and took them a couple days before they could even get a sample of what was going on. And they said, you've got viral and bacterial pneumonia at the same time. They were baffled. That's why I got sick, because I got hit with both things at the same time. Well, I'm in the hospital, and I'm sick, and I'm not getting any better, and I'm on medication, and every day, you know, they put me in a wheelchair because they want me to walk. They wheel me downstairs for my x-ray, and every day, I look, and you can see how clogged the lungs are, filled. So I'm laying in bed. I've got the IV drip, and it's bandaged on. And I wrote in Hebrew, Ani Adonai Rofecha, from Exodus 15:26. I was working on my doctoral dissertation on God the Healer. And I said, a billion years from now, when there's not another sick person in God's universe, God's not going to be the healer any more then than he is right now. And I just determined I'm going to continue to believe God. Well, one morning, I sent word, the students were going to be in chapel. And I said, it's a week now, I'm not any better. And I sent word, I said, when you're in chapel this morning, I want you to all pray and agree that my body will line up with God's promises and that I'll be healed. And suddenly faith rose in my heart. Faith rose in my heart. I called my wife. I said, I'm going home today. She said, hon. I said, no, you didn't understand. You know, she thought I'm saying, well, I can't stay here anymore. And she knew I was sick. I had to be hospitalized. I said, no, I'm going home today. And on the way down to get x-rayed, I tell the guy wheeling me down. Now remember, this is x-ray every day and no change for a week. As he's wheeling me down, I said to him, I'm just telling you, the x-ray is going to show a dramatic improvement today. And he goes, oh, look, I can't. I said, no, I'm just telling you, it's going to show a dramatic improvement. I just knew faith came alive that day. And sure enough, it was all the pneumonia completely gone from one lung and largely gone from the other. I'm sitting in bed playing cards. I mean, just passed at the time, sitting in bed. And the doctor comes in. He says, what are you doing here? He said, hospitals are for sick people. You're going home today. Yeah, amazing, huh? All right, so I've shared this before, but as I'm getting ready to go back to India, I want to share it again because we were rejoicing with some of the family members over this last night via email. The son of the ministry leader there, Yesupalam is the ministry leader, his son Sunil, got married to a lovely Indian lady, Kalpana. In fact, I had the joy of baptizing both of them as teenagers on my first trip to India. But they're married for about 3 years, couldn't have children. On one of my trips to India, they told me about it, and I prayed. I said, how would you like to have a kid when I come back next time? And trust me, I attribute this all to their childlike faith, mature, solid, childlike faith. I prayed, came back the next year. Sure enough, they had their baby boy. And I said, what's his name? And Sunil, the son, said to me, uncle, you're going to name him. Uncle's an affectionate way of speaking. Uncle, you're going to name him. I said, okay, this does happen in India where they'll ask someone else to name the child. So I really prayed. I thought, oh, no, I don't want to blow this the kid's name for life. And I prayed over him, publicly dedicated, said his name is Daniel, and explained why, and the parents were blessed. Well, a couple years later, they had another child and a boy, and this time I knew I'm going to be naming him. They told me when I come there, I'm naming the child. And the moment they told me they had a boy and I was going to name the child, I hear inside my head, his name is Jonathan, and it never left me. Right up to the time where I publicly named the child and get up in front of everyone. And I said, his name is Jonathan. And the wife, Kalpana, the mom, begins to cry. And I didn't know why. It was just so sweet. She just started crying. And afterwards, they told me the story. She said that she wanted a true friend for Daniel. And she thought, well, who were true friends of the Bible? It was David and Jonathan. She said, oh, no, but David fell into sin. She didn't want that. And she said, Lord, have Uncle name him Jonathan. There are a lot of names to pick from. You know what I'm saying? And I got up there and said, his name is Jonathan. Well, fast forward now to last year in India. And we get to talking. I found out, I said, you thought of another child? And this is several years then. They said, oh, uncle, we can't have any more children. The husband's telling me. I said, well, let's pray. Maybe you're supposed to have a girl. And they said, oh, uncle, that'd be great. You know, the gentleman, that'd be great. Well, while there, I feel prompted to preach a message on blessing out of barrenness. And there's much more to the story, including the fact that the young lady on the trip with us, God had showed her that message in a dream. She had a dream of me preaching that exact message before I got there and then laying hands on people to have kids. Well, we had a couple interns who were there with us, and they had been unable to have kids for years. Within a couple days of that meeting, the wife was pregnant. They've had their child. And anyway, after the meeting, I have this distinct feeling that this couple, Sunil Kalpana, they're going to have another baby, and it's going to be a girl, and we're to give it a specific name. Sure enough, the wife, Kalpana, says to Sunil, and then he comes and tells me, he said, Uncle, you're not going to believe this, but she was praying, and she felt we're going to be able to have another child, and we're going to have a girl, and you're going to give it this particular name. I said, oh, my. We were in a state of shock. And, of course, they've had the baby, and I get to name this little girl next month. Would you help me going to India? We always need your help on these trips. Before that, going to China. So two major trips the next month. Hold my hands up as I go. For your gift of any size, I want to send you my authentic fire book, which is completed now and just in the editing process. Call to order 1-800-278-9978. Your gift of any size, this is my gift to you. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, if the Bible is really true and the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus, what might we expect today?